Always there. All right. Wow. Nothing like being in close relationship with the greatest person of all time, the Creator. All right. So we're looking some more at kingdoms and priests and being a kingdom of priests. And one of the comments made with regards to the heavenly Jerusalem is that it's represented as being without a temple. And they say that it's really the abolition of the distinction between holy and profane. Again, Zechariah, and this time chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. And through the prophet Zechariah, God really makes, well, he shares some great insights. I guess you could say some great foresights. Zechariah chapter 14, and let's read verses 20 and 21. God is talking about the time when the Lord will come and reign, when he will return to this earth and rule his earth. And he says, on that day, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bells of the horses. The words, holy to the Lord. On that day, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bells of the horses and the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the sacred bowls in front of the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord Almighty, and all who come to sacrifice will take some of the pots and cook in them. And on that day, there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord Almighty. No longer a Canaanite, no longer one rejected by the Lord God, no longer one considered profane, sinful, wicked, evil by the Lord God Almighty. They will not be allowed in that temple. And notice this. This is something that we could so easily miss, overlook, dismiss, disregard. Now in Revelation chapter 1, and we're at verse 6. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And has made us to be a kingdom and priests. Well, let me start at the very last part of verse 5 so that this will just flow better. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Now, verse 6. And has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Literally, to the God and Father of him, which means, of course, his God and Father. Now notice this, to him be glory and power, or some translations may say to him be glory and dominion. To him be the glory and the dominion. And these articles express universality, all glory, that which everywhere and under every form represents glory and dominion. The verb be, the glory, is not in the text. So you may render this either as an ascription or as a confession, either be or is. The glory is his. Glory means originally opinion or judgment. And in this sense, it's not used in Scripture. And the sacred writers always of a good or favorable opinion, and hence praise, honor, glory, applied to physical objects as light, the heavenly bodies, the visible brightness and manifestations of God, magnificence or dignity, divine majesty or perfect excellence. Now, this is the reason I'm sharing this with you. We are coming from God, this one who is divine, excellent, majestic, perfect. We are not divine. We are not perfect. But ladies and gentlemen, we will be perfected at the appointed time. because we come from him. He is holy and directs us, instructs us, commands us to be holy even as he is holy. I want you to see more about what's happening with the Lord Jesus as we talk about his glory, his divinity, his majesty, his excellence, his perfection, so that we can begin to get a sense of what life is going to be like, what eternity is going to be like for those of us who submit to Christ now so that he can glorify us later. Because that's what I want you to focus on. I want you to be focusing on two things at once. The glory, the weightiness, the majesty, the favorable opinion, the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God the Father, so that you can get a sense also of how he will be making us great at the appointed time. So listen to this. St. John chapter 17, verse 5. The Lord Jesus was praying to his Father, and he prayed concerning his glory. And I said verse 5, let's start instead at verse 1. After this, Jesus had said this, he had been praying to the Lord God, talking with his disciples, and he had encouraged them to take heart, despite the fact that they would really have some trouble in the world. He said, take heart, because I have overcome the world. Yep, I've overcome it. And then he began to pray, asking God, making requests pertaining to his glory, not God the Father's glory, Jesus' own glory. Let's look at this some more the next time.